In a recent ruling, the U.S. Court of Appeals for Federal Claims said the Army went a little too far in trying to be fair to bidders on the latest recompete of its Army desktop mobile and computing contract. After the initial bids came in from 58 separate companies, the Army deemed just 9 of them technically acceptable. So it decided to reopen the competition, including by letting companies submit new prices in order to ward off 21 separate bid protests. Joe Petrillo is a procurement attorney with the law firm Petrillo & Powell. He joined me to explain the ruling.
As you mentioned, technical acceptability was key, wasn't a comparative evaluation. And that was determined by spreadsheet forms in the that were included in the RFP, and offerors had to fill these out and demonstrate that the equipment they were proposing was met the technical requirements of the solicitation. And apparently these tripped up a lot of bidders. As you mentioned, only 9 out of 58 proposals were acceptable. Apparently people made, made honest mistakes in filling these out. They had acceptable acceptable items, but in trying to indicate that, there were some confusing aspects of the spreadsheet. Some folks guessed right and some folks guessed wrong. So 21 disappointed offerors filed protests at GAO. The Army took a second look at the procurement and decided, well, we think that we're going to lose the protest. So in any event, we find this procurement flawed, so we're going to take corrective action. And when it did announce that, GAO dismissed the protest, which is what it normally does, because when you're going to have corrective action, there's nothing left to protest, really. When that was announced, then the agency went on, the Army went on to figure out what corrective action would be. And they said, well, we're going to reopen discussions. We're going to open discussions, rather. There had been none in the first round. We're going to give all the offerors information about any deficiencies in their offers and allow them to submit revised proposals and new pricing as well.
And that's critical, I think, that they opened it up for pricing, too. But go ahead.
That turned out to be an important issue. When that was announced, some of the awardees then decided that the corrective action was too broad. And so they filed suit at the Court of Federal Claims, thinking they might get a better hearing there. And they alleged two things. One, there was no reason to take corrective action. No corrective action was necessary at all. And two, the proposed corrective action was overbroad. And so the court had to consider those two issues. Now, on the first one, the court disagreed with the awardees. They said, yes, the Army was reasonable in taking corrective action. It didn't matter whether or not the protests were untimely, and there was an argument that they were based on procedural grounds. But the Army could still correct the perceived defect in the solicitation, even if the protest would have been untimely. And the Army, the court said, was reasonable in deciding that the spreadsheet was confusing and ambiguous. And the Army also thought it should have conducted discussions, and the Army was probably right about that, too. But the issue now becomes, with all of that background, what is the proper scope of the corrective action? And the court said that the proposed action that the Army was going to take was too broad. It wasn't tailored to narrowly target the defects that it was intended to remedy. That's a quotation from the court's opinion. What happened was everyone got a chance to correct their proposals no matter how badly they'd erred and whether or not the problem in their proposal was rooted in an ambiguity in the solicitation. So instead, the court felt that the Army should have used a different method rather than reopening for discussions and getting new prices. The Army should have allowed clarifications so that those offerors which were in fact affected by the problems with the spreadsheets could correct their spreadsheets, fix those errors which the court considered minor errors and clerical mistakes, and then be reevaluated. And presumably, if some of those companies had already had attractive pricing, they would get awards, perhaps supplanting some of the original awardees.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, Joe, but I think one of the issues here is that once the Army had decided that they were going to reopen this entire competition with respect to pricing as well, they're effectively setting up a second round of bidding And in that second round, everyone can see the prices of the people who won in the first round. So everybody's going to be shooting at those low targets. So it's like super LPTA.
Well, that's true. And that certainly troubled the court. And the court felt it was unnecessary to open that up in this particular instance, because the errors that were committed could have been fixed without doing that. I think, though, historically, if you look at the GAO decisions, GAO isn't very much concerned about that sort of problem with the second bite at the apple. But the court sometimes is, and I think GAO might be a little more sensitive about the issue than it has in the past. So that's an interesting evolution in the law.
Interesting. So you alluded to this earlier, but does it look like, at least in this case, the Army should have just gone into discussions up front in the first place with each and every one of the bidders?
Well, in looking back on it with 2020 hindsight, if you've got a procurement with 58 proposals and only 9 are acceptable, you know, you've either got a very unusual situation or there's something wrong with the solicitation. And, you know, it didn't take the Army lawyers too long to figure out that there was something wrong with the solicitation. So you begin to wonder whether they shouldn't have been involved earlier. And the Army could have avoided this whole thing by holding discussions, gotten more acceptable proposals, probably would have gotten a group of finalists with better pricing, and everyone would have been better off, and there would have been nothing to protest.
One of the reasons I ask is, you know, if that's the case, my sense is this is exactly the kind of procurement that the sorts of members of Congress who want to restrain bid protests would point to as Exhibit A for why you can't do technology procurements quickly. If you have to have face-to-face discussions with 58 different companies, and if you don't, you're leaving yourself wide open to a protest. I mean, that there has to be a better way, it seems like.
Well, the idea here is the Army is going to award a series of delivery order contracts, umbrella contracts, and then once they go through the agony of that process, issuing orders under the contracts, holding mini competitions among the awardees, that process is going to be simpler and in many cases will be not protestable, be underneath the dollar threshold for bid protests in an ordering situation. So, you know, I think what there's a trade-off that the Army and other agencies are making. They're going through these very large omnibus procurements to winnow down the number of awardees, winnow down the number of companies, and then hold simpler procurement actions given that group. You know, whether that's the right way to go or there are other ways that might be more efficient and more effective, that's an interesting issue of procurement policy.
So last question on this, Joe, does this Court of Federal Claims decision have any broader implications for how much discretion agencies have in what kind of corrective action they want to take?
Well, I would think that the trend certainly is, and the Court of Federal Claims is at the forefront here, that some of the judges there have been tougher on agencies and the scope of their discretion than GAO traditionally has been. So, the moral of the story is, if you've got a bid protest and you want to get out of it, fine, but don't create more problems for yourself by constructing an overly broad corrective action.